My text this morning is found in verse 20 of Luke chapter 10. It's the words of the Savior to the 70 plus that came back after their service for the Lord. And they were rejoicing. Oh, they were rejoicing. And it says, "Notwithstanding in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven." Our greatest joy. 70 disciples, verse 1, along with the other 12, were commanded and commissioned by the Lord to go into every city and every place that he would himself visit later on. They were told how, where they were to go, how they were to conduct themselves, what they were to take with them. They had clear instructions from the Lord. And you know, that's the same in the Lord's work today. If the Lord calls, he equips. And when he calls us, he tells us where to go, what we're to do, and how we're to do it. And so there's clear leading from the Lord. And these 70 disciples went out, and they did as the Lord commanded them. Now, verse 17 says, they returned from their labors with great heart and great joy. Lord, we have had a wonderful time. Even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Isn't this tremendous? And no doubt they had, that joy was real and genuine. And oh, to see these spirits subject unto him. And yet, notice in verse 18 that the Lord Jesus gives a very solemn warning, as I judge it. And he said unto them, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." What was he getting at? Pride. Pride. Son of the morning. The devil, the one called Lucifer, was one of the highest angels in glory. And because of pride, he fell from heaven. And there's always the warning in our service for the Lord and what we do for the Lord for pride to come in. And sometimes so subtly that we hardly know it, but we're boasting in what we're doing for the Lord. It's very easy to fall into that trap. And I believe that's why the Lord gave them the warning early in their ministry. Everything that you do has to be done with a single eye to God's glory. And you see, when we look at the work of God like that, that'll keep us right. That'll keep us humble. Because without him, we can do nothing. Without the Holy Spirit, nothing will be accomplished. And really, at the end of the day, we're unprofitable servants. But all glory be given to him. But the Lord will reward faithful service. But it's a hard thing, isn't it, sometimes, to keep the old pride down, isn't it? You know, we're human. There's that old fleshly bit about us. That when things happen, and the Lord's blessing, there's that temptation just to have a wee bit of pride, to boast. Look at us. Look at our church. Look at our minister. It's none of those things. It's the Lord. As was really prayed in the prayer meeting this morning, no denomination glorying in anything. The Lord has to get the glory. As in all our labors, in the Lord's work, there's that great danger of pride slipping in. Satan fell from heaven swiftly and surely as lightning. Jesus had given them power over serpents and scorpions and even the power over the enemy. But he says, verse 20, "Notwithstanding this, rejoice not. Rejoice not that through God's provision you have power over the devils. Rejoice rather that you are children of God through the power of God and through the grace of God. And because of that, your name is written in heaven." That's what we're to rejoice in. There may be power to cast out devils. And we have to keep in mind here that it says in verse 1 that Jesus appointed other 70 also. So I'm reading into that. The 12 were there, and then there was another 70. And who was among the 12? Judas Iscariot. And you say to me, could Judas Iscariot, being the person who he was and it would be revealed to be later on in the scripture, could it be possible for him to cast out demons? Well, if you turn back to the book of Matthew chapter 7, we see what the Lord says to those that come in the last days. Matthew 7 verse 21. We'll read from verse 19 just to get the connection. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. See how they're addressing him. Nothing irreverent about it. Have we not prophesied in thy name? Lord, we've preached in thy name. We've stood in the pulpit, Lord. We've preached in thy name. We've witnessed. And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. It's not a solemn thing today. And sometimes you were surprised, you know, when someone seems to be going well with the Lord and in the church and all the rest of it, and then all of a sudden something goes wrong and we say, well, how could they do that? Well, here was a people that preached in the name of the Lord. They prophesied in the name of the Lord. They cast out demons in the name of the Lord. And the Lord says, I never knew you. I never remember you coming to the cross. I never remember you bowing the knee and humbling your heart and crying unto me for salvation and repenting of your sin. I don't know you. And it's just a solemn thing, brethren and sisters, this morning, to keep that in mind. Just how far someone can go in the things of Christianity and yet not be saved at all. The devils are subject unto us, O Lord. Don't rejoice in that. Because even Judas Iscariot was among the 12. And there's others that will come and they'll say, Lord, Lord, open unto us. We've prophesied in thy name. We've cast out devils in thy name. Depart from me. Depart from me. I never knew you. Oh, rather, they were to rejoice in that their names were written in heaven. And I'm just thinking, why did the Lord say that? Well, what they did was really nothing. It was themselves that were glorying in. Lord, we have done this. But when you think of your name being written in heaven, that had nothing to do with us. That was God's work. I mean, we're called in Christ and chosen Christ from before the foundation of the world. And we came forth in time at the call of the gospel. And our names are written in heaven. That's all God's work. Salvation is all of grace. And the greatest blessing and joy a person can know is that their name is written in heaven. And what an encouragement for the child of God going through the middle, as it were, going through periods of darkness, going through periods of grief and of sorrow and of trouble. And you get your share of that in life. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. And as you look back in your life and I look back in mine, there were plenty of those days, weren't they? But this should encourage us that our names are written in heaven in the Lamb's book of life, and they never can be erased. You might not have your name written in the book of who's who. You might not have your name written in the halls of fame. You might never be written, your name might never be written on any citation for some heroic deed. You may never appear on the register of colleges of great learning. But I tell you, if your name is written in heaven, you've got a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. Rejoice not in this, but rather that your names are written in heaven. Brethren and sister, are we rejoicing that our names are written in heaven? No matter where else it's written, no matter where it's not written, no matter what the problems and the difficulties and the heartaches, we can rejoice in this, that our names are written in heaven. And that means, if our names are written in heaven, we're going to be in heaven. Bless God. All that went into the ark come out of the ark. And all who are in Christ are going to be in heaven because their names are written there and God has written them there. See, God wrote His word in tables of stone. But God now has written them on the fleshly tables of our hearts. And God's word cannot be broken, and God's word is sure. God's word is true. It will not pass away. And our name in heaven will not be erased. We'll not come to that day through the swelling of Jordan to discover that for some reason or other our name was wiped out. That cannot be. That cannot be. The Lord has promised us that we're a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. We've got an inheritance in heaven that is incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, you might reserve a table in some restaurant or some eating house, and you come at the point of time and, oh, there's been a mistake. We're very sorry, sir. But one of our waiters gave your place to someone else. But that'll not be happening in heaven. And our brother David's name's in heaven, and I'll not be taking his place, and he'll not be taking mine. And it'll be reserved there for each one of us. Isn't that something to rejoice in? That's what the Lord says. Not just that the devils are subject unto you, but rather that your names are written in heaven. Oh men, today they want their names written in citations. They want their names to be mentioned in the palace. They want their names to be mentioned in the echelons of society. I don't care for any of those things as long as I know that my name is written in heaven. Notice the record that is in heaven. Rejoice that your name is written in heaven. And this quite clearly shows us that God keeps records. God doesn't nod and wink at the things that we do or they say or the thoughts that we think. There's books in heaven, and every idle word is spoken is recorded. And Moses acknowledged the fact that God keeps records. In Exodus chapter 32 and verse 32, verse 31 says, as Moses returned unto the Lord and said, "Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." And Moses was so zealous for the Lord, they said, "Lord, if you don't forgive the people, then you can blot my name out." Now, he felt strongly about that. Just like Paul felt very strongly that his brethren, the kinsmen according to the flesh, should be saved. He could wish himself a curse from Christ. That wasn't going to be. But that's how he felt. So strongly and so zealous for his fellow man, for his fellow Jew, that he could wish himself accursed. Moses said, "Lord, if you're not going to forgive the people, then blot my name out. I don't want to be there." Of course, that wasn't going to happen. But it does show us that God keeps a record. Paul confirms God keeps records in heaven. If you turn over to the book of Hebrews, and it's chapter 12 and verse 23. "To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven." Written in heaven. It's all down there. And that's a wonderful thought. When you and I think that our names are written in heaven, those who are loved are saved and in fellowship with God, that our name is there. But you know, it's also a solemn thing to those that are not saved. And people sometimes go through life and they fail to acknowledge that everything they say and everything they do is recorded. And one day they'll be judged in that. And I often think how privileged a people we are in Ulster, even yet today, in spite of all that's happening, that we can come here without let or hindrance, and the gospel is freely preached. And every time someone hears the gospel and rejects it, they will give an account of that. That will be brought up. That is recorded in the book. It's a solemn thought. God keeps a record. And Revelation 5:1 speaks of the book written in the throne room of heaven. As we said, all names are written in heaven, but only those that are saved are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you turn over to Revelation chapter 20, and we find not the names, but the characters, the characteristics of those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Chapter 20 and verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Notice verse 8, a description of those dead. And speaking of the dead, both great and small, that's those that are dead in trespass and sin. They've never been saved. They've never been to Christ. They've never sheltered under the blood. 21 and verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Their names are written in the books. They're not written in the book of life, the Lamb's Book of Life. But their names are recorded in all their deeds. These records are a true record because God has written it in His Word. God has said it. He's not a man that He should lie. The Lord Jesus Christ, who speaks of it, said He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so all these things are true. There's many things in life you and I can take with a pinch of salt. And you can listen to people and say, yes, there are green shoots appearing. The economic recovery is on hand. And you can say, well, I'll believe that when I see it. But when God writes it and God says it, that's truth. That's truth. The record is true. It's a complete record. It's a complete record to the life of the individual and all his deeds. Turning to Matthew 12. And verses 36 and 37. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. It's a complete record. Now, I know and you know, if everything that we said and done was to be put up on that wall there, we would run out of those doors with shame. Run out of those doors with shame. But you see, for the child of God, our sins, which are many, have been dealt with by the blood of Christ. But I tell you, if those sins are not under the blood, they will be revealed one day. Every idle word, every thought, every awful deed. It's complete record. It's there. And of course, the record of the people of God and all the works that we do, they're also reckoned in heaven. And again, it's a solemn thought. 1 Corinthians 3:11 to 12 tells us that, you know, there's rewards in heaven. Those that are saved will never be judged of their sins because Christ has already borne that judgment on the tree. But we will be judged for our service. And Paul said, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that some of our works will be like hay, wool, and stubble. They'll just be burnt up. And it's only those works that are done for the glory of God that will be gold and silver and precious jewels. So there's a word for us all here. It's a more sure record. Peter tells us in 2 Peter 16:19 that we have a more sure record. What is he meaning? He's not meaning that what we have written is more true than what the Lord spoke. But it's more sure because it's recorded. It's recorded. Many a man, many a woman have learned to their cost that when they made an agreement with someone or a firm, and they just had a gentleman's agreement, they have learned to their cost that that was worthless. So you get it down in writing, because then it's a more sure. It's just like the village of Garva, the town of Coleraine, or anywhere. Someone trips and falls into a puddle of water, and by the time it gets to the other end of the village, they've probably drowned. See, there's always something added to the story, isn't that right? But if you've recorded it, that's why in the children's meeting in Sunday school, I'm sure they do it in Garva, everything's recorded, every incident is put down there, because then you have a record of what happens, and you can stand over it. And God has given us a more sure record in His Word. It's not just something that's been passed on from word of mouth. He inspired men of old to write His Word. It is God-breathed. It's a sure word. So we need to take heed to it. And then notice not only the recording in heaven, but the rejoicing on earth. Rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you. Now again, the 70 were rejoicing because of the success of their labors. And there's a great deal that men rejoice on earth. People can rejoice at the success of their business. They can rejoice at the success in public life, or in the arts, in sport, or politics, or whatever. Many rejoice in their families. And all these things are right and proper in their own place. But Jesus saying, notwithstanding all these things, rejoice that your name is in heaven. He isn't saying that we're not to be happy if we're successful in business, etc. But rather, we're to experience the greatest joy that anyone can ever have. I remember the night I got saved, November 1967. And I can remember coming out of that home. It was just a meeting where people were asking questions and evangelists were giving answers. And I came to Christ that night. And you know, I came out of that home that night, and there was a great lightness, a great joy. I know it. I was there when it happened, and I ought to know. And I remember coming out of that house, and a friend of mine who had went to the meeting but left earlier was standing at his gate, 11:45 at night. And he said to me as I come up, and I'm not boasting in this and giving the Lord the glory, but he said, "Jim, you don't have to tell me. You've got saved. I can see it. I can see it." And I've never lost that joy, the great joy of God's salvation. It's the greatest joy, because it's heaven's joy. It's the joy that Jesus gives. It's the joy of the knowledge of sins forgiven. You know, if you do someone a wrong, and you try to put it off, and you go around for a day or two or a week, and, boy, I'm not getting any peace about this. And you go to the person and say, "Look," and it's hard to do, isn't it? That wee word, sorry, it's very hard to get out, isn't it? And just say, "I'm shouldn't have said it, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me?" And the person says, "I accept your apology, I forgive you." There's a great release, isn't there? Great relief. And when we come to Christ and we acknowledge our sins unto Him and confess them, what a burden. What a burden is lifted. And yet there's young people, men and women, they go through life, and they've got this great burden of sin. And if Christ doesn't lift it, if they don't come to the Savior, it's going to drown them in a lost sinner's hell. The joy of the knowledge of sins forgiven. The joy of so great salvation. Saves time, but thank God for all eternity. Great salvation because of the one who purchased it, even the Lord Jesus Christ. And when God the Father gave His Son, He could give no more, He gave no less. He offered up His Son. The Lord Jesus Christ offered up Himself as a sacrifice for our sins. And when we think of those words, it's just one word in the Greek. It is finished. Finished. The price has been paid. The Father has accepted the offering that Christ has made for our sins. And our names are written in heaven. I tell you, brothers and sisters, I just don't know how people can go through life without this joy, without this knowledge, that it's right with them and God. That they're saved and their names are recorded in heaven. And no matter what comes or goes in life, and some things are hard to take, I'm not making light of it. And some people seem to get more than their share of trouble. But I tell you, it's transient. It's going to end. There's a wee phrase that runs through the Bible. And you know, it's been a great blessing to me. And it's these words, it came to pass. It came to pass. And they always do. If you just wait in the Lord's time and commit your way unto Him, that sorrow will pass. That trouble will pass. And one day it's definitely going to pass when we get to heaven. This rejoicing is full. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's enduring. This is not something that is transient. This rejoicing is not just for time, but for eternity. Things of earth and its joys are but for a moment. They're passing. You know how it is? You meet a friend down the street and you pass the time of day and he cracks a joke with you and you have a great laugh. And then you go on your way and about 10 minutes later you come up against something that takes away the joy and the laughter. But this joy lasts forever. It's not anything that can separate us from it. That's why Paul could say in Philippians 4 and 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Now, Paul wasn't intimating or saying that he was always in a high sort of thing. That he didn't know any sorrow or trouble. I mean, Paul had his share of it. Imprisonments, beatings, stripes. But he said, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. We don't rejoice in our trials. We don't rejoice in our troubles. But we can always rejoice in the Lord. He never changes. And His love towards you and I is always the same. You see, that's why men and women and who are not saved, their pleasures are but for a season. They'll never satisfy. You asked the alcoholic, the drunkard this morning. They had a great time, they said, last night. How do they feel this morning? They're back to square one. There's the addiction. There's that gnawing addiction in their heart. It didn't satisfy just for a moment. That act of madness. Because that's what it was. And it was just, the thrill was just for a moment. And then comes the consequences. And the repercussions. Pleasures of sin for a season, because they don't have lasting satisfaction. Jesus said to the woman at the well, if you drink this water, the well, you'll thirst again. You'll be back tomorrow with your water pot. You'll be back the next day. You'll be back the next day. But if you drink of the water that I give to you, you'll never thirst again. It satisfies. It satisfies. There's nothing satisfies like it. The joys are transient. And nothing should let anything really interfere with our joy in the Lord. It is something that is personal. Rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven. And then notice quickly the rejection
in eternity. As we intimated earlier, all people have their names written in heaven. But only those that are saved have their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Only those. And how would I know if my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Well, the Bible tells me that those in Christ are chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world, because the Lamb was slain from before the foundation of the world. In other words, in God's mind, Christ was offered up as a sacrifice for sins for his people. But how am I to know? Very simply, have you repented of your sin? Have you humbled your heart and said, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner? Have you asked the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart to save you from your sins? And when you do that, and you trust in Christ, then you can have the sure knowledge. 1 John chapter 5, 11 to 13 tells us the assurance that we can have that we're saved and that our names are written in heaven. A very serious portion of the Word of God is found in Proverbs chapter 1. And in verse 24 it says, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have said it not all my counsel and with none of my reproof. And here the Lord is saying, I did everything possible. I gave you preachers. I gave you counsel from my word. I called you, but you wouldn't come. You refused the offer of salvation. You wouldn't come. And then notice what he says, verse 26. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they will not find me. Why? For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. And you see, when people die and go to a lost eternity, they're eating the fruit of their own way. They have followed the devices of their own hearts. They wouldn't repent. They wouldn't call upon the name of the Lord. And now they're reaping the fruits that they sown. We shall reap what we sow. But can't it be so different? So many people in this meeting this morning, and they're rejoicing. Oh yes, they've had their heartaches. They've had their troubles. They've had their problems. But I tell you, there's nothing can take away from the joy of the Lord, which is their strength, and their joy of the knowledge that their names are written in heaven. This world is going to pass away, and there'll be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet, but we can read the scriptures, and we can see the signs there. And through this economic downturn, we can see that this is not just involving Great Britain. France, Germany, China, Japan, America, they're all involved, and they're all looking for a collective answer. Aren't they just looking for one man? For someone that could come and put his finger in the situation and change it? An Antichrist. We can see it. Don't have to have a PhD to see it. It's there. But thank God all these things are doing is telling you and I that the day of our redemption draweth nigh. Rejoice not in this, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven. May the Lord bless his word to your hearts.